The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The investigation is underway into a fire in the Cobblestone District that resulted in over $1 million in damage. Crews were called to the scene at South Park and Mississippi Streets around 8 p.m. and continued the battle until 2 this morning. With temperatures in the 90s, Buffalo Fire Commissioner William Ronaldo says preventing overheating was a priority.
Oh, yeah, that's where firefighter safety comes in, yes. And this is the same crew, the same platoon that worked the fire at the Old Pink the day before yesterday. So they only had 24 hours rest and recuperation, and now they're fighting this fire.
Ronaldo says the cause of the fire is unknown, but the building was vacant and there were no reports of people inside. For people with health conditions that require electric-powered medical devices, power outages or utility service shutoffs can be dangerous during heat waves. Executive Director of Erie County's Office for People with Disabilities, Frank Camerata, says in a blackout, seeking shelter should be the first priority.
If you have an assistive device that requires electrical power, reach out today. Reach out to National Grid today and ask to speak to the consumer advocate.
New York law includes utility service protections for older adults and people who are blind or have disabilities. The former business manager at a Tonawanda church could spend up to 30 years in prison after admitting to stealing nearly $500,000 from her employer. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 44-year-old Lisa Noble pleaded guilty Tuesday to several charges related to thefts at St. Amelia's Parish. Noble made numerous unauthorized purchases totaling $465,000 that included concert tickets, travel accommodations, and other personal items by using the church's debit card, issuing fraudulent checks, and stealing cash deposits. As part of her plea, Noble has agreed to pay restitution. The heat enveloping the region carries deadly risk for individuals with dementia and Alzheimer's. A 2013 study in the journal Epidemiology showed on an extremely hot day, people with dementia had a 6% increased risk of dying, while those with Alzheimer's face an 8% greater risk. Frank Camerata, the Erie County Office for People with Disabilities, provides perspective.
They may not be able to consider that it's very hot out right now and that I should get inside. And that's where you know, the loved ones, the relatives, the friends and neighbors, that's where we come in to make sure that they're being taken care of.
Camerata recommends contacting senior centers as they may offer transportation to cooling centers.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
A heat wave in June highlights the importance of access to cooling appliances like air conditioners, but access to those resources could look different in the future, with New York State adopting new standards for refrigerant emissions. WBFO's Alex Simone reports.
State regulations adopted this year will start phasing out the sale of appliances that use hydrofluorocarbons in 2025, like your air conditioners and freezers do right now. It would allow residents or businesses to use non-compliant appliances they already have, but they would be unable to purchase new ones that use hydrofluorocarbons, also known as HFCs. Senior Manager of Climate Campaign for the Environmental Investigation Agency, Christina Starr, says the change should significantly reduce emissions.
Whereas your typical household air conditioner might only have a few pounds of these gases in it, your average supermarket, for example, has about 3,000 pounds of HFCs in it, and it leaks about 25% of that refrigerant on average each year, according to the EPA. So that's about the equivalent emissions of 400 cars being added to the road using gasoline.
According to the Washington State Department of Ecology, HFCs could account for 10% or more of global emissions by 2050 if alternative measures aren't pursued. The locally based Mahlenberg Betts works with industrial-level appliances regularly. Company President Adam Mollenberg says the state's updated regulations could be jumping the gun.
The federal guidelines from the EPA that are out there now, it's a good timeline. It's a timeline that manufacturers have already been working with around the country to meet these upcoming EPA guidelines. They're prepared for it. We're working towards it. Everybody seems to agree it's a very feasible and attainable goal. And now you have New York State DEC trying to push the envelope too far, too quickly, and no one's ready for it. Equipment manufacturers, refrigerant manufacturers aren't going to make an effort to be ready for it because there's 49 other states that aren't going to have these kind of regulations. They're sticking with the federal EPA.
Starr says these changes have been in the works a long time. She says the plans used by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which aim to significantly reduce HFC emissions by 2036, mean the state is on the right track.
We want to accelerate that process and give incentives to help them and support small businesses, for example, in making that transition. We can subsidize the costs of that, especially when it comes to early replacement. Those types of incentive programs have been implemented in other states outside of New York. And New York has actually done some of these types of projects through an existing grant program that it has.
Mollenberg Betts, Vice President of Services and Operations Matthew Smith, says alternatives like propane and ammonia make sense on the scale of industrial appliances, but he's skeptical how well those changes will translate to residential use.
The refrigerants they're going to, the ammonia, the CO2, they're here already. Propane has been around forever as a refrigerant as well. But now putting that into residential homes and everything else is creating other problems. Not only the cost, but the safety factor of it.
There is no regulation in place for a residential ammonia system. It's great for industrial, and we love it, but it's not suitable for residences. My point is, if you're going to be putting propane or isobutane or CO2 or ammonia, the regulations for the applications and compliance codes don't exist. Building codes don't exist.
According to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, ammonia is considered corrosive to the lungs, skin, and eyes, and also can be flammable. But according to the EPA, one advantage of ammonia is that its strong odor means people can be alerted before it reaches dangerous levels. New York's updated refrigerant regulations go into effect January 1st of next year. For WBFO News, I'm Alex Simone.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.